بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأجرين بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرع إلى الله. اللهم كن وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك ضوءا وتمتعه فيها طويلا.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
اللهم لعن أول ظالم ظلم محمد وآل محمد. اللهم لعن قتلة أمير المؤمنين عليه السلام. It's the night of the 19th, night of the Qadr, and also the night when our Imam is wounded. Fatima, the daughter of Asad, she stood before Kaaba, that is, for 63 years prior to this Imam getting wounded. She is in pain and in her last moments of her pregnancy. She stands before the Kaaba, and then she whispers, she supplicates to Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, sheds tears, says, "Oh God, this Ya Rab, Ya Rab, Ya Rab, how much more do I have to say? This pain that I am bearing, how much more do I have to bear?" She says that this distress that I am in, how much longer do I have to bear? As she prays that, "Oh Lord, emerge this shelter of mine, emerge this supporter of mine, show me my way, oh Lord, what shall I do?" She supplicates, and amidst her supplications, all of a sudden, the walls of Kaaba, they crack open, and she enters into the Kaaba. The doors, the walls, they close again. Now, for 3 days, she is inside the Kaaba. Everyone, they want to come and they unlock the door, get in Kaaba. No one can unlock it. The door won't open. And she is there inside the Kaaba. And after 3 days, a caller cries from the heaven, says that, "Kaaba, listen carefully, open your ears, open your arms like an oyster and welcome this gem. The light of lights is fast approaching. The speaker of Tur, like Kalimullah, is fast approaching. A friend like Khalilullah is fast approaching. From a distance, someone is fast approaching. The one who's coming now is the dearest to me." And then Fatima bint Asad, the walls of Kaaba, they crack open again, and she comes out with a radiant moon in her arms. Abu Talib alayhi salam, when he sees that she has come out and with a baby in her arms, he is overjoyed at seeing his son. And now he has a supplication to the existence of Allah. The baby is wrapped, and here Abu Talib alayhi salam holds and hugs the baby, holds his wife, and they come towards Abda. And then he supplicates to Allah, says, "Ya Rabbi, هذا الغسق الدجي والفلق المبتلج المذيب بين لنا عن أمرك المقضي ماذا ترى في اسم السبي. Says that, oh God, this blessing you have given to me, this baby, this wonderful baby, has been blessed. O you, the Lord of the darkness and the dusk, O you, the Lord of the glowing daybreak, reveal your command unto me, that is, what shall the name of this baby be? He supplicates to Allah, and a tablet, an emerald tablet fell from the sky onto the ground. And on that tablet is mentioned, خُسِّسْتُمَا بِالْوَلَدِ الزَّكِيِّ وَالطَّاهِرِ الْمُنْتَجَبِ الرَّبِيِّ وَإِسْمُهُ مِنَ الْقَاهِرِ الْعَلِيِّ عَلِيُّ نِشْتُقَّ مِنَ الْعَلِيِّ. Says that you've been selected for the choicest son, be pleased. The pure, the chosen, and he, the baby, is also pleased. And his name should be derived from the lofty Ali, which is the existence of Allah. And that says, as Allah's name is Ali, someone who has been born now, his name also should be Ali. That is, a junior Ali to that senior Ali, which is the existence of Allah. Name of Amir al-Mu'mineen given by Allah. Birth of Amir al-Mu'mineen in the house of Allah. All these are miracles that unfold for this great personality, this sincere servant of Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, that when the mother is in labor, she is invited to Masjid al-Haram. Furthermore, the walls of Kaaba, they crack open, she enters the Kaaba, the most sacred place, and the baby is born. On the contrary, you see Maryam, alayha salam, she's been living in the mosque, in the temple, in a place of worship. When she is in labor, instructions given to her, leave, you must not be here. Isa must not be born in a temple, in a place of worship. And over here, she is invited and the birth takes place in Kaaba. Now this tablet on which this saying of Allah was engraved, which fell from the heavens onto this earth, was hung onto Kaaba until the time of Hisham bin Abdul Malik, which is a century from that time. And after that, it wasn't seen anymore. Birth of Amir al-Mu'mineen is a miracle. Naming again the same. But in Karbala, we see that there is a father who is the son of Amir al-Mu'mineen. He too brings his baby in the plain and land of Karbala. But how does he come back? Here he comes, returns and gives the baby back to the mother with a name on him, and that is Ali. But there that little Ali, Aliya Asghar, is given to the mother, returned to her, but with his neck sliced from one ear to another. With reference to the name of Amir al-Mu'mineen, named by Allah, titles which he possesses, It's Abu al-Hasan, sometimes Abu al-Husayn, also known as Abu al-Sittain, father of Hasan Husayn, or Sittain, that is the two grandsons of the Prophet. And again, he is also known as Haydar, that is the name which is given to him by his mother. Among the other titles that are given to Amir al-Mu'mineen, which are many, one of them is Abu Turab. Abu Turab is also the name of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Which was given to him by the Holy Prophet. On this night of Amir al-Mu'mineen, we have to communicate as much as we can, relate ourselves as much as we can, And it is us who will benefit. We recited that ayah quite a few times. And that is, Allah says that يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ, that all you who believe, when Allah calls you, when the Prophet calls you, respond to that call, that is, be obedient to them, because that obedience will give you life. You will live as a result of that obedience. With reference to Amir al-Mu'mineen and those who are related to Amir al-Mu'mineen, those who have served Amir al-Mu'mineen and how much they benefit, I'll quote just a few examples so that you also get an idea, although we all know this, but these things are being mentioned over here as a reminder that the author of Al-Ghadir, Allama Amini, among the sincere servants of Ahlul Bayt, passes away in the 1960s. He has written this book called Al-Ghadir in 20 volumes, where he talks about the event of Ghadir and among the assets of the Shia world. Spends about 40 years in writing this book. When he had done the job, and also when he passes away, and when he is seen, was asked that how did Amir al-Mu'mineen reward this person for this service? Says that we saw that it is the heavens, and that Kawthar, the pond of Kawthar, is present over there. Amir al-Mu'mineen is also standing by the pond, and there is a queue, a line of people, those who have served Amir al-Mu'mineen in whatever way, in whatever manner, they are in the line. And one after the other, they come forward. Amir al-Mu'mineen, he has a cup in his hands. He dips that cup in that pond of Kawthar and quenches them, those who have served him. Now this person who sees, he says that I saw that, I just wanted to see how Amir al-Mu'mineen rewards Allama Amini. Says when it was his turn, Allama Amini's turn, says Amir al-Mu'mineen puts that cup down, rolls his sleeves, dips his Mubarak hands in that pond of Kawthar, and quenches the thirst of Allama Amini with his own Mubarak hands. That is someone who has served him in that way. He also provides in that way. And then says, بَيَّدَكَ اللَّهُ وَجْهَكَ, that Allah may brighten your face as you brightened my face. That is, as a result of that service which he provided by writing that book. So, someone who serves Amir al-Mu'mineen benefits from Amir al-Mu'mineen in that way. Hadith from the Imam says that وَالْمَيِّتُ مِنْ شِيَعَتِنَا صِدِّيقٌ شَهِيدٌ, from among our Shias, whoever dies, Imam says that person is Siddiq, someone who is trustworthy, someone who is truthful. Not only that, Imam says he is Shaheed as well. صَدَقَ بِأَمْرِنَا وَأَحَبَّ فِينَا, he is among those who accepted our commands, our instructions, who loved for our cause, who hated for our cause. يُرِيدُ بِذَلِكَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, and the basis of his love and hate was all for the sake of Allah تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. Or elsewhere says that مَنْ مَاتَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّ آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ مَاتَ شَهِيدًا, that someone who dies with this love and with this bond, devotion towards Ahlul Bayt, says this person will not die an ordinary death. This person is a shaheed. It's exactly that same ayah which we recited, that you respond to the call of Allah and the Prophet, you will live. Quran says, shaheed, he never dies. Shaheed is always alive. His sustenance is provided by Allah. Here says that someone who has associated with the love and bond of Ahlul Bayt, he also is the same. أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ, فَالشُّهَدَاءُ, which Quran says. And again, it was just mentioned a few days ago that when Imam was inquired that أَيُّ الْأَعْمَالِ أَفْضَلُ بَعْدَ الْمَعْرِفَةِ, that after one, someone knows Allah, says, what is the best action? In reply, Imam says, that is that love you have towards Ahlul Bayt. Opening of everything is this love for Ahlul Bayt. Closing of everything is this wilaya which you possess for Ahlul Bayt. That is the most desired action that a person can have. With reference to Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, كان أول الناس إيمانا برسول الله, is the first one who has faith in the Holy Prophet. First one. All says لم يشرك بالله طرفة عين, that is, he was never a mushrik, never, not even as much as a blink of an eye. From the day he was born until the day he died, total submission to Allah, total submission to the commands of Rasulullah, that was Amirul Mu'mineen. At the age of 13, or at the age of 10, in that invitation which Rasulullah has, which is known as Inzar, there Rasulullah, he invites the dignitaries in Mecca, that is, the best of men who were living at that time. And then Rasulullah hosts a feast. And then he cooks a meal, just a little bit. And all of these 40 dignitaries, they come and they say that there's just a little food on this sufra, on this table, and just a little drink, and we've got 40 men over here, and we have to eat and drink from that. And then they start talking that it seems that Rasulullah, who claims to be a prophet, wants to make a mockery of us, that he has invited us, and it's just that little food. When he says Bismillah, all of them eat, they are full, they drink, and the food that was there, it remains as it was by that barakah. And after this, they start mocking at each other. Look at that, it seems as if he is a magician. And Rasulullah doesn't propose the reason why they were invited. The second day, the same. The third day, the same. And then he says that, who would be the best successor for me? No one stands, Amirul Mu'mineen stands. His age at that time is either 10 or 13 years old. For the second time he proposes, no one stands, Amirul Mu'mineen stands. He says, sit. For the third time, when he proposes that who would be the best successor for me, the right successor of mine, for the third time, Amirul Mu'mineen, he stands, and then Rasulullah says, هَذَا أَخِي وَوَسِيِّي وَخَلِيفَةٍ فِيكُمْ, that this is my brother, this is my successor, and this is my Khalifa who will be amongst you. At that very young age of 10 or 13 years. How come someone at this age can arrive at that highest position and rank? We talked on this as well. So age, when it comes to divine ranks and positions, it plays no part. For example, Prophet Isa, just born, he bears witness in support of his mother, says, Inni Abdullah Atani al-Kitab Ujalani Nabiya, supports his mother and says that I am the prophet that has been made by Allah, that I am the servant of Allah and I am his. To me this book has been given and I am his messenger, his prophet. The same thing is over here, that buluh does not matter, young age does not matter. When the command of Allah is to happen, it happens regardless of what the age of that individual is. With reference to Amir al-Mu'mineen, there are so many ayat in the Quran that many of them again have been witnessed by the Sunni ulama. They say that there are about 700 ayat in the Quran which talk specifically about Amir al-Mu'mineen, and there is no one who could be unmatched. All these ayat would apply on that individual. For example, when in this Surah Al-Kahf says that وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَتِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا, that you must not ascribe anyone in the worship of Allah as a shariq, as a partner. Here the Mufassir, he says that لَا يُشْرِكْ فِي وِلَايَةِ عَلِيمٍ. That is, even when it comes to the wilayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen, there shouldn't be a shariq. That is, it is Ali and only Ali and no one else but Ali. When it comes to the education of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, it was mentioned that he is the first one who accepts this, who has faith in Rasulullah, accepts the mission of Rasulullah, and his age then is about 13. So what was his faith before that? Or when Rasulullah starts his mission and his age is 40, what was his deen, what was his religion prior to that? Rasulullah practiced what he is to preach from the age of 40, before that age as well. And we find that in the Quran. When it comes to Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says, do you want to know how Rasulullah practiced what he was to preach after the age of 40? In Nahjul Balagha, he says that لَقَدْ قَرَنَ اللَّهُ بِهِ مِنْ لَدُنْ أَنْ كَانَ فَقِيمًا أَعْظَمَ مَلَكٍ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَتِهِ يَسْلُكُ بِهِ طَرِيقَ الْمَكَارِمِ. That Allah, he appoints the best of his angels to be a personal tutor to the Holy Prophet, who guides him all the way through from his birth until the age of 40. Here Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says, I have been a witness, an eyewitness for that. And when we say, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, we bear witness that Prophet is that Muhammad is the Prophet of Allah. It is that iman that we have on the ghaib. But when Amir al-Mu'mineen witnesses these ayat, it isn't as such that he has heard something and he is bearing witness to that. He says that when wahi was revealed to Rasulullah, or that first revelation that was revealed to Rasulullah, I was with him. That is, Jibreel conveys the message to the Prophet, and I've been with the Prophet. And then he says that when that first verse was revealed, I hear the screaming of Shaytan. And I said to the Prophet, what was that scream? And then Rasulullah says that Ya Ali, did you hear what was that? He says, and yes, you listen to what I listen, you hear what I hear, you see what I see. But the difference between you and me is that I'm a prophet, you are not. So he is a witness. He hears exactly what the prophet hears. It is exactly like two people sitting in this majlis. There is a third person who comes and talks to the first one, and I'm sitting beside him and I can hear to what the conversation is. It's Jibreel talking to the prophet, and you mean listening to it. Jibreel conveying the message, Amir al-Mu'mineen seeing him. So it's that type of witness which Amir al-Mu'mineen has. When we say kana awwalun nas imanan bi Rasulullah, he is the first among the entire mankind who has faith in Rasulullah. Or says that innaka tasma ma asma wa tara ma ara walakinnaka lasta bi nabiy. The knowledge which Amir al-Mu'mineen possesses is huge, vast. It cannot be compared, nor it can be defined. Prophet Musa asks Allah the Barak wa Ta'ala that God guide me to someone from whom I can learn. Musa is among the greatest prophets. To him this book is given, the Torah. Allah says, okay, I'll guide you to someone you can learn from him. Gives him the address and says that when you come to that point, that is by the Mediterranean Sea, the directions are such that when you come to that destination, and that is by the sea, you'll see a table with cooked fish on it. The fish will fall into water, and that fish which was dead will be alive. That is your destination you've reached at. Prophet Musa comes there, finds the table, the fish falls in the water that was cooked and dead, and here gets alive. It's alive now. There he meets Prophet Shu'aib, and there, Prophet Khizr. Then he meets Prophet Khizr. And there is this conversation which takes place between the two, and here a little bird comes and dips its tiny beak into this water. It wants to fly again. Jibreel descends. And when this little bird dips its tiny beak into that water, and when it moves that beak, there is a little bit of water which goes in the beak and a lot which falls out. Prophet Jibreel alayhi salam says to Prophet Musa, that what was that? He says, I don't know. Now, Prophet Khizr is there. To him he says, what was it? He says, I don't know. Then Jibreel says, that what fell off the beak of this tiny bird, it's all the knowledge which both of you possess. All of it. And then he says that in the end of time, there will come a prophet and his successor. The knowledge which they possess is as vast as all of these oceans, all of them. Again, Quran talks about this, that قُلْ كَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا بَيْنَهُمْ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ وَمَنْ عِنْدَهُ إِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ وَمَنْ عِنْدَهُ إِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ, that someone who possesses that إِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ. Now again over here, you must have heard the story of Prophet Sulaiman, that the person who brought this throne of Bilqis from Yemen all the way to Prophet Sulaiman, which is a distance of 2,000 miles, in a blink of an eye, the first person, when he said, I can get it to you, how long will it take for you to stand up from your seat? A few seconds, or 2 or 3 seconds. He said, I can get that throne of Bilqis to you, that is this 2,000 miles, in 3 seconds. He says, it's a lot. There was another person present in that majlis. He says that I can do it in a blink of an eye, fraction of a second. Quran says the person who did that, he had ilmun min al-kitab. That is a fraction of the knowledge of the book. But when it comes to Ma'sumeen alayhi salam, when it comes to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, says ilmul kitab. That is the entire knowledge of the book is with Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi Nabi Talib alayhi salam. But again, amazing. No one can be a match to him. No one can be a muqallid or try to copy Amir al-Mu'mineen and get born in Kaaba. That is impossible. So there are some qualities which Amir al-Mu'mineen possesses, which were God-given, like his birth. There are some qualities which he possesses, which he himself acquired due to these, like these services which he provided to the humanity, to the orphans, to the widows, serving in the community, helping out people, digging wells, helping in the farms, or whenever people used to get stuck, they used to come to Amir al-Mu'mineen. All these services are these services which he created, which he worked on, that is his own performance, as a result of which he arrives and reaches that high rank which he has. A student studying in Najaf, he is hand to mouth, desperate, comes to Amir al-Mu'mineen and says that all these years I've been studying here, Ya Ali, you have to be a good host. Help me out. If you want me to study over here, I can study. But this way, where I haven't got anything and any means to survive, nothing to eat and drink, how can a person study? Then, after this communications and these laws that he has with Amir al-Mu'mineen, once he has a dream. Amir al-Mu'mineen says that, hey, you go to Hyderabad. Hyderabad was in India then, and Pakistan didn't exist. You go there and take this phrase with you. And on that phrase was written that there are Simantra Radokare of Tal Kunan. Just take this. This is the address. That is the destination. And you knock the door. Whoever opens the door, you just tell him that there are Simantra Radokare of Tal Kunan. He wakes up and says that I haven't got anything to live in Najaf, and he wants me to send abroad. And I have to travel all the way to India. Comes to the alim in Najaf. Says, this is what I've seen. He says, I'll make the arrangements. You just follow the instructions of Amir al-Mu'mineen. He has given you something. You deliver that note to India. He travels all the way from Najaf to Hyderabad in India. Comes to the address that was given to him. Knocks the door. And the person who opens the door after salam, he says, there are Saman Ravadu Kar of Taab Karad. It means that it would ascend to the skies and would do the job of the sun. This person who opens the door is extremely happy, one of the richest people in Hyderabad at that time. He says, this message must be definitely from Ali, no one else. What happens is that he was a poet himself, a rich person. He has a daughter. And then he says that he writes the first sentence of this poem, and that is بِزَرِّ گَرْ نَزَرِ لُوتْ بُوْتْرَابْ قَلَدْ. Zarr is that small particle which floats in the air, which you can see in the dust. He says, if Abu Turab, which is Ali, looks at this tiny particle which is floating in the air, and then he gets stuck. He wants to say the second sentence of it, he hasn't got the second poem. Invites the best of poets and says, this is what I've written and I want you to help me out with the second sentence of it. No one could do anything in India. He has a covenant, a nazr. He says, Allah, help me with the second sentence of it. I will wed my daughter to that person. Half of my wealth, I'll give it to that person. Just with help me with the second sentence. And this poor student, he comes all the way from Najaf, delivers that note, and his poverty also is driven away by that delivering of that one sentence, which was again by Amir al-Mu'mineen, which says, بِزَرْتَ يَرْ نَزَرِ لُوتْ بُوْتَرَابْ قَنَاتْ بَرَاسِمَنْ رَوَدُ قَارِعَبْ تَابْ قَنَاتْ. That is to a little particle. If Amir al-Mu'mineen has a little sight, it will ascend to the skies and do the job of the sun. So Ali, he is great. The outlet to every closed door is Amir al-Mu'mineen. This is what we find even during the life of the Prophet. That is, whenever he gets stuck, he says, Ya Ali. When he is in the Kaaba, and the instructions were to demolish all those idols inside the Kaaba, the Prophet goes in, and you've got Ali standing on the shoulders of the Prophet, and he is the one who knocks all these idols down. There again, it is Rasulullah, he is in need, he wants support, calls Ali. The same thing, the same teaching is to us, which alhamdulillah, we practice it, and that is whenever we also get stuck, we call up Ya Ali. On this night, which is the 19th of Laylatul Qadr, and in this sacred month, now Amir al-Mu'mineen, he's an old man. On and off in this sacred month, especially amidst the month, he has a khutbah, and people were sitting in that majlis. He says that wallah, that by God, this beard will be soaked in my blood. So people, they were just amazed at why is that Amir al-Mu'mineen is talking like that. They were worried. And it so happens that in the last days of his life, that is from the 15th onwards, every day he visits one of his children. A day he is in his son Hassan's house for iftar, a day in Abdullah's house for iftar, a day in the house of his son-in-law, Abdullah bin Ja'far, a day with Umm Kulsum. And on all of these nights, they say that Amirul Mu'mineen, he comes and he has very little for iftar. Maybe just 3 pieces of food. And we used to tell him that, why is it that you are eating so little, father? In reply, he says that, I want to meet my God not with a full tongue, with a full belly. And on a night like tonight, which is the 19th, he is the guest at his daughter's house, Umm Kulsum. When it is time for Maghrib and iftar, Umm Kulsum, she brings the iftar. What is that? Some milk with some bread, with some salt. Amir al-Mu'mineen says that, Umm Kulsum, when did you see your father eating so many different types of food for iftar? Now what was that? Just milk and bread and salt. She wants to take that salt away. He says, leave the salt and take the milk away. Has some morsels of that bread with the salt, just a few. And Amir al-Mu'mineen, he is worried all that night. She is also worried about seeing this distress of the father, that every now and then he comes to the window and looks at the sky, sends for her brother Hassan. Why is father so much disturbed? Then Imam, he has a little nap, wakes up, continues with his worship, and then comes to the window again, looks at the sky and says, it's time, it's the time. I haven't been lying, nor will I lie. And it is that day which Allah has promised. Children, they are worried. Umm Kulsum, she starts crying. And she says that, Hassan, brother, you go and lead the prayers today. Let father be at home. Imam says, the decree of Allah, if it's to happen, it will happen. Imam, he sets off towards the Masjid al-Kufa. And when he opens the door and he wants to leave, his abba, his cloak, it is stuck in the door nail. He wants to walk a few steps. The dogs, the hand present in the house, they come and they hold the abba of the Imam. They say, Imam, don't go. As if everyone knew what is going to unfold. But he says, what is to happen is to happen. Sets off. Gives an adhan at the time of Fajr, an adhan which was heard by everyone present in Kufa. Comes to the mosque, and this Mal'oon ibn Muljam, he was sleeping on his belly. Imam comes to him and says, hey, you get up. I know what your intentions are. Don't sleep on your belly, as that is the sleeping of Shaytan. Sleep either on your right side or on your back. That is the sleeping of the prophets. Imam heads towards the mihrab, and there he starts his prayers. And when he is in his sajda, this Mal'oon ibn Muljam, he comes and strikes his sword on the noble head of Amir al-Mu'mineen, and it hits exactly on that same wound which he had in his head, and this noble head of Imam, it breaks into two. Upon that, Jibreel, he raises his cry, saying that تَحَدَّمَتْ وَاللَّهُ الْكَامُ الْغُلَىٰ, that my God, today the columns, the pillars of guidance, they shook. مَنْ تَمَسَتْ أَعْلَىٰ وَالْتُقَارُ مَنْ تَسَمَتْ الْعُرْوَةُ الْوُسْلَىٰ, that strong rope of guidance of Allah, it shattered, it broke. قتل ابن عمر وقضى مصطفى. That is the cousin of Mustafa. He also is killed. قتل الوسيق المجتبى. That is his successor, which is the chosen مجتبى. Imam, when he is hit and is obsessed, the first thing he says is Fustu Rabb al-Kaaba. That is, to the Lord of the Kaaba, I have been successful. I prosper. Imam soaked in his blood. Imam al-Mujtaba, he continues with the prayers, leads. And this Imam is brought to the home. He says that when he comes near to the house, says, Hassan, Hussein, let me walk. Because Umm Kulthum, if she sees me that you are carrying me, she will be able to tolerate and bear. Let me walk. The wound is tight, and he is brought home, laid to rest. Everyone is wondering that what is this tragedy which unfolded on this noble household of one? Allah rahmatullah ala al-qawm al-zalameen. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ اللهم لعن قتلة أمير المؤمنين. والله by أمير المؤمنين. Help us in knowing ourselves. Help us in creating this bond and love with the whole household of Wahi. Help us in shedding tears in the azan in the morning of Ahlul Bayt. Ya Allah, our children, naslan ba'da naslan, for generations to come, may they become to that listed among the best of Muslims who ever existed. Ya Allah, by Amir al-Mu'mineen, hasten in the return of our master, our Hujjah, and count us among his true supporters and servants. Ya Allah, by Amir al-Mu'mineen, all those present over here, no matter what hajat they may be having, fulfill them, grant them. Martin Hussein.
Ya Ali Mala, 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 Ya Ali Mala,
Mumino hai dhar kar raat ka matam kar lo. Mumino hai dhar kar raat ka matam kar lo. Mumino hai dhar kar raat ka matam kar lo. Mumino hai
Say,
عليك مني سلام ابدا ولا تعلمنا آخر العهد مني زيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين السلام عليك يا صاحب الزمان السلام عليك يا شريك القرآن السلام عليك يا قاطع القرآن السلام عليك يا إمام الإنس والجان عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل الله تعالى مخرجه وظهوره ورحمة الله وبركاته
We're going to take a short break, 10-minute break, and then we'll stop with George Joshua. Just a 10-minute break, we'll have a drink of water, and then we'll come back in here for George Joshua.